The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Nice hymn, huh? Very nice hymn, very comforting. It's one that Betty picked out when we met at Berg's funeral home Thursday afternoon, the afternoon of the day that I.A. died, and had special meaning to her and to I.A., and also the hymn that we will sing for our closing hymn. It's a hymn of comfort. It's a hymn of peace. It's a hymn of hope. And yet, what if it's not true? Ooh, then we're wasting our time, aren't we? And the 23rd Psalm, which we spoke responsively toward the beginning of this service, it too is a psalm of great comfort when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, he restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I will not fear any evil of any kind. You anoint my head with oil. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Again, what a comfort. It's familiar to many, many people. But what if it is not true? Then again, we are wasting our time here. Indeed, we could be better remembering I.A. by going out and having a big meal and celebrating and spinning yarns about all the funny things he did, all of his love, all of his wonderful sense of humor, his commitment to Betty and hers to him, and his love for Michael, his love for his grandchildren, Amy and Melanie, his love for his great-grandchildren, his love for this church. We could talk about such things as, say, maybe a goat and some silver paint. All kinds of things we could be talking about other than this stuff. So, what if it is not true? Here we are, at the death of someone we loved, the death of a very faithful husband, a loving grandparent and great-grandparent, a wonderful friend to many of us, a guy who made me laugh from the very first time I met him, because I.A. was one of the work crew that was helping us unload the truck almost 12 years ago, after I'd accepted the call to Mount Olive and we were moving into our home. He made me laugh at the very first because, he came up to me, he introduced himself to me. I said, "Well, it's good to meet you. How are you doing?" And he said, "Not so good. My wife left me." And I didn't know what to say. Here, just met this fella. And he's opening up his broken heart to me. His wife left me, and he mentioned that you had been married something like 50 years at that time. And all I could say was, "I am sorry." And he said, "That's okay. She was just on a visit. She'll be back this weekend." And I knew then that I was on to someone who was unique and special, someone who was a joy to know. And what a great gift from God that was. But if the hymn that we sang and the psalm that we read and the readings from Scripture that you listened to are not true, then I.A. is nothing more than just some cremains and ashes in an urn. And that's it. And we will never see him again. We will never get to experience his humor and his love again. And he's just been absorbed into a meaningless universe, and poof, he's gone, just as we will be someday. But the Scriptures make a clear and definite point. And this point is sharpened. This point is driven home. This point strikes us and forces us to a confrontation with the fact that what the Scriptures claim are true. That what the church has proclaimed for going on 2,000 years is true. And that what we are reminded of today is true. Not a matter of subjectively it's true because, hey, I believe it and that makes it true. But it's true because of one important fact. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, we are of all men most to be pitied, because we're still in our sins. We've made God to be a liar by telling people that Christ has been raised from the dead. But if he has been raised, that makes all the difference, because that means death has been conquered, not just for IA, but for us, for all the world. That means that we can approach death with confidence and even a sense of expectation and hope and longing, as IA did, as you and IA spoke about so many times during your private conversations in the long nights you were together there by the hospital bed, Betty. As I spoke of when, as a pastor, I would visit Betty and IA and bring them not questions, not an uncertain hope, but the sure and certain hope of God's love for them in Christ Jesus. And the hope that they had and have in Christ Jesus. Have you noticed we've talked a little bit about Jesus here? Why is that? You know, we have this image of Jesus as, you know, some guy who likes to play with children. You know, some guy who never says anything harsh, who's always lovable, always upbeat, always happy, a smiling, beaming, warm, fuzzy Jesus. But that is not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture is no mere man. But Scripture teaches that he is none other than God become man, the second person of the Trinity, taking upon himself our human nature. Why? As a conjuring trick, a magic trick, so people would go, ooh, ah, look at that. Son of God in human form. No. Because in taking upon himself our human nature, in having our blood as human beings flow through his veins, having a heart like ours and lungs like ours and a pancreas like ours and kidneys like ours and a bladder like ours and a digestive tract like ours, God enters fully into the reality of our human condition. And he doesn't do so as bubble boy, you know, protected from everything bad, everything that might possibly harm him. God comes into the world in the person of Jesus Christ without the suit of armor, without the flak jacket, without the helmet, without any defensive weapon of any kind, so that he can live a life of holiness and righteousness for each one of you in your place, to fulfill all righteousness for you. God comes into this world so he can bear in his own flesh the sin of the world. Every wrong thing you have ever done, whether you think it's wrong or not, every sin by which you have offended God, whether you think it's a sin or not, even if you don't think about God, He did it for you. And He took upon Himself our flesh and blood, and IA's flesh and blood, so that, voila, He could offer His holy flesh, His holy blood, His innocent suffering and death up to His heavenly Father as payment for the sins of the world. By golly, I believed that. I can remember I'd been here a year or two and I had preached a sermon. Again, it was about Jesus. And He said to me after the sermon, "It's Jesus or nothing. It's Jesus or there's no way to heaven. There's no way to eternal life." And I said, I'm going to remember that when I preach your funeral, if I have the privilege of doing so. And that's IA's faith. That's the faith in which he lived. That's the faith that buoyed up and sustained you and IA during the long, long illness that he suffered when he was confined to bed, except for those times when he might get up into a wheelchair and go to the breakfast table and have some breakfast. That's the faith that enabled him to approach death with confidence. That the Lord was his shepherd, and that Lord is none other than Jesus Christ, who speaks of himself as the good shepherd, the shepherd par excellence. The shepherd who made IA to lie down in the green pastures of his holy and life-giving gospel. The shepherd who led IA beside the still waters, because IA was joined to Jesus' death and resurrection in the water and through the word of his baptism. The shepherd who restored IA's soul again and again through the forgiveness of sins and through the preaching of the gospel and through the absolution. And who did it? Not because IA deserved any of it. None of us do. But for his gracious name's sake, the Lord. And even though IA walked in the shadow of death for many, many times during the last years of his life, even when he had that gallbladder surgery that we didn't know if he was going to live through it or not, even as last summer, there was one time hospice was saying, "He's got a day or two left, and that's it." IA knew that he did not walk alone through the valley of the shadow of death. He knew that he need fear no evil, because Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, God made man, first walked through that valley of the shadow of death for IA. And this Jesus endured all evil for IA. This Jesus willingly took upon himself the evil of all of our sins and died. Story doesn't end there, does it? No, doesn't end there at all. Look at this. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Tuesday, 2 days before he died, I was able to come out to IA's and Betty's and give them and a couple of our elders who were there Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. "Eat. This is Christ's body given for you," I said. "Drink. This is Christ's blood shed for the remission of all of your sins." I was less than 48 hours away from death then. He was in the presence of very real, very powerful enemies. Death. The devil. Eternal condemnation. But look what Jesus did. The Jesus who died for him, who was raised again, spread that table before IA. He ate and drank, as did Betty and I and a couple of our elders. And then those words, "Now may these, the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast, sticking to it in the true faith unto life everlasting. He is in the Lord's presence now, IA. He has entered into life everlasting. He does dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, that urn there contains his earthly remains. But IA lives on with Jesus. IA lives on in the company of the saints in heaven. IA lives on to praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." That's IA's hymn now. We are joined to that hymn when we gather for Holy Communion in the company of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We sing with IA because IA is not dead. Jesus' resurrection shows that death has been conquered, that sin has been taken away, that hell has been put out of business. And that's why we have hope. That's why we have more than a memory of IA. It's why we have more than these smiles and the tears that we shed. Because IA lives on. Because the gospel is true. Let that be your comfort, your confidence, your peace at this time of grief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.